my pocket back.
Okay, there we go. If I have it the right way, I turn it back on, so I go backwards. Now it's working. Good. Just getting ready. The children are going to be coming out and singing some songs for us. And I'll have a brief children's message with them. And then they'll go back. Are they in church for a while? And then, okay, good. The announcements you have, there was the, rummage sale, is that it? October. And one thing, though, I want to, that's kind of new, they just put it posted it on the board. The church wife and I worship at when I'm not out preaching, supply preaching at different churches, is First Lutheran Freeport, and they are hosting a Reformation hymn sing. It's going to be the 22nd, so a week from this Sunday, at First Lutheran Church Freeport, and we're going to just have Lutheran Reformation songs and a hymn sing, and I think our choir is going to be doing a number, and so you know anyone who wants to come and listen, there's some readings as well, and we'll have a good time. I'm not positive, but we might have a visit from Martin Luther. But we have a person that dresses up in costume and stuff, and did that for our rally day. They had Martin Luther present for the rally day. So, other announcements, any? I didn't think I'd ever say this, but boy, when I was those kids' age, when we had a crop walk, well, you're going to walk for an hour and 15 minutes, is that it?
Yes.
Yeah.
10 miles
in an hour and 15 minutes?
No, we don't walk now that way.
Oh.
When it first started.
Oh, yeah.
Like over at Mossback, we walked a total of 10 miles.
All right, well.
She had a second grader with me, and she had a pledge with someone in Elizabeth.
Okay.
Was going to pledge her $100. She walked that 10 miles, and she did walk that 10 miles.
Still, when I was a kid in the 60s, it was a 30-mile hike. We went to church, and then they bussed us all over to the crux site. And, you know, we walked for, figured 4 miles an hour. So, you know, and rest and stuff. But, I can't do the math in my head right now. 8 hours of walking, valid, just about, yeah. Yeah, and reason why they did that is because that's how long a lot of the people that lived in some of these countries had to walk to just get water each day, fresh, clean water. That was the biggest problem, is to get the where the water was. And when I was in Haiti visiting the Church World Service sites, and I used to, you know, lead the crop walks and stuff, you know, and in Haiti, they had a town, Anzagale, and they had water there. But up in the mountains and that, they had a walk for hours. And they would use these gourds to carry the water in. And so their money in Haiti is called gourds. The paper money, it's called a gourd. So, okay. Thank you. Yes. Yep. She's passed now. Thank you. Oh, gosh sakes, what did you do here? Okay, I have it locked. I don't know why I pulled it up. Okay, well, children and leaders, this is called the worship.
If you're happy and you know what to win. If you're happy and you know what to win. If you're happy and you know what to win. If you're happy and you know what to win. If you're happy and you know what to win. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, praise the Lord. Praise God! If you're happy and you know it, praise the Lord. Praise God! If you're
you. Thank you very much. Before you go back, I have a quick children's message.
If you right here. You guys can stay right here and listen to the children's
message. Yeah.
Okay.
Here, I'll sit. Yeah, there you go. I had someone ask me about today, and I thought this would be a good children's sermon. Take a look at this, and take a good look and see what you see. Tell me what you see on there, okay? Look at it, all right? Did you take a good look, okay? All right. Go ahead. What did you see? Jesus on the cross, okay? Is he on the cross? He's in this one. He's in the cross, all right? And what do you see? Go ahead. What do you see?
The cross.
The cross, right. Now, so where's Jesus in this cross?
In the middle.
Yeah, point. Yeah, good. Then you see these lines all around the cross?
Yeah.
What do you think that means? Yeah, it's the cross. Yeah. What does it mean? See the lines going out? Okay. See, this is like bright light, like light shining in the darkness, all right? And Jesus rose from the dead. And so this is a resurrection cross. Even though it's in the shape of a cross, Jesus won victory over death and over evil. And so that's why we wear a cross like this with Jesus. Usually Lutherans don't wear it with Jesus on it, but this is Jesus in it because he's a cross to save us. And so this is good news, and it's a bright light that shines in our hearts. You ever seen the song, This Little Light of Mine?
Yes,
yeah. Why don't we do that real quick? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Good. Well, thanks for coming up. All right. Go ahead. And do you sit with the parents now, or do they go down? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and hear our solemn prayer. We come to hear your living word. Say.
First reading is Isaiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, you are my. I will exalt you. I praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. The blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place. You subdued the heat with the clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he may save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm chapter 23, read responsively. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. The second reading is Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, loved. Urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of the workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your jest be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything be prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Find, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet with his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it, went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. We had the children's time already, and we'll continue with the sermon. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The title of this sermon is Invites and Dresses Right. Invites, dresses right. You are invited. You are invited to a formal wedding of a friend. And you tip under, what am I going to wear? That is, unless you're a man with one suit, one tie, and one dress shirt. The point is to dress right. In our gospel story, we hear about a king who gave a wedding banker's son. You all know the story. Many of us sang a children's song about it called Wedding Banquet. How many of you know that song? No, you don't. Let me try it. I come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I yields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. Now have you heard it? Yeah, okay, you remember it now. Okay. Luke's gospel also tells the story of the wedding banquet, as well as Matthew, which is the gospel we read for the earlier. The message is loud and clear. Jesus invites all who will come to the banquet. Yes, you, each one of you, are invited. I'm invited. Matthew's version of this parable, though, adds a twist. In fact, a couple twists to the original parable, or at least to what Luke has. The king gives a wedding banquet. He sends slaves to call the invited guests, and they will not come. Again, he sends other slaves. In those, people didn't have watches or embossed invitations to know exactly when to come, so they used messengers. Second batch of slaves was given a message: tell the invited guests everything is ready. Those invited make joke of it. One goes back to his field to harvest. Another invite, he goes to his business to work, and the rest seize the messengers, mistreat them, and kill them. Now here, Matthew's story turns to violence. And this sounds like a repeat of last week's story. The owner, if you remember, in the vineyard, sends servants to collect fruit from the tenants. You know, they're living on his land. He is to get a return on his land. Well, he doesn't get it. Instead, stone, beat, and kill the servants. Well, Matthew seems to be in a rut here. Maybe he's watching too much TV. You know how violent it can be. Well, Matthew's version of the wedding banquet parable gets more violent. The guest's treatment of the slaves enrages the king. So the king destroys those murderers and burns the city. Then, we get the familiar conclusion of the story. The king sends his slaves out into the streets. They gather all the people they can find. They gather the good and the bad. And they fill the wedding hall. All right. And they all live happily ever after, right? No. In Matthew's gospel, there is another twist to Luke's version. The king checks out the guests, and he notices one man was not wearing a wedding robe. And the king asks him, friend, how did you get in here wearing a wedding robe? And he was speechless. Well, and then the king orders his slaves, saying, tie up his hands and feet. Throw him into the outer darkness. Let him cry and grimace about that. Oh, in fear. The king's slaves gather him off the street. He had no invitation, no warning. How could he be expected to go out and buy a wedding robe? He might have already spent his last denarii and couldn't afford it. It hardly seems right. The king's behavior seems erratic, unpredictable. One moment he's generous and welcoming, and the next second he turns violent and spiteful. Throws him into the abyss, this man without the robe, all because he does not wear the right thing. What do we make of this? We are invited, but we better dress right or else. To understand this dresses right concept, it helps us to know the background of the story. Jesus tells this parable to the leaders of Israel to warn them. The leaders of Israel are the first guests in the story. They were God's chosen people. Now here it says God is the king and the slaves are God's prophets. That's what I say, but if I say God is the king, that means God them. And see, God isn't the king in the other part, but you'll find out more about that. So Israel's leaders rejected God's prophets and mistreated them. More recently, one leader, Herod Antipas, beheaded John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. Jesus is the king's son in the parable, and the wedding banquet is to be God's kingdom. And the religious leaders reject Jesus as God's Messiah. So God, insisting on a full banquet, invites all who will come into the kingdom, good and bad. Jesus, in his lifetime, invites tax collectors, prostitutes to be his followers. Those initially invited to the wedding banquet refused. Therefore, they missed the opportunity to share in the joy of the king. They could not see what was really in store for them. Afterward, they heard about how grand the party was. Perhaps they sat around like the character in the comic strip, Born Loser, and reflected, the story of my life, when the window of opportunity was open, I had the shade drawn. Well, Matthew assembles Jesus' story into his gospel account around the year 80 AD. Well, by that time, things had changed. Thousands of Jews believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. Yet greater number of Gentiles, non-Jews, have now become believers. The Romans destroyed Jerusalem 10 years earlier, 70 AD, as the parable describes in verse 7. So what happens here is Matthew takes the original paragraph, parable, and the interpretation, but then adds something into it that just throws everything off kilter. Basically, the Romans represent the king at this point, not God. So, you know, the Romans were the ones that destroyed Jerusalem. God didn't do that. While most of the Jewish leaders and their people continue to reject Jesus as the Messiah and persecute Christians. And this is going on around 80 AD, and those Christians that were part of the synagogues and worshiping and acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah around other Jews and that, they were no longer able to go into synagogues, kicked out. So the Jews were persecuting the Christians in that way. And this is where the man who did not wear the right clothes into the picture. This man's ejection becomes a new warning to us Christians of all times. So Matthew's saying this for our benefit today. It is not enough to accept the king's invitation to the banquet. We have a demand placed upon us. We need follow-up action after we accept God's call. Those of us who do not behave like Jesus' true disciples will find ourselves out in the dark. Confederate General Robert E. Lee once said, "Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more and you should never do less." Our duty, no more, no less, is to invite people to the wedding banquet, to invite people to be followers of Christ. We need to be loyal to this call, even if it goes against our society's norm of doing what for ourselves. We're supposed to be loyal and called to be loyal to God's desire that we in people. We don't need to set the table or prepare the food. Christ sets the table and Christ food. Our duty is to invite others. An old maritime story tells of a ship in distress that called the Coast Guard for assistance. Part of the Coast Guard crew questioned the wisdom of going out in a storm. They feared that they would not be able to get their own boat back to safety, let alone save these other people. The commander replied, "Launch the boat. We have to go out. We do not have to come back." Our duty as Jesus' disciples today is to go out and extend the invitation. Come and dine. Share Christ's body and blood. Those are the proper wedding clothes that Christ calls us to wear. We are to wear inviting presence. Yet realistically, we can relate to those that were too busy to come to the banquet. Often we're too busy for God, it seems. Too busy to pray or to read the scriptures. We're too busy to worship. Once we accept God's invitation, we can sometimes forget why we came or why Christ came to us. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be given to you." Unfortunately, we let lower priorities draw us away from what we need most, a deep relationship with Christ. All kinds of activities are crowding out what our kids need most, a relationship with Jesus Christ, to be centered on God's unconditional love. And yet, we can hardly blame the kids. So often they just follow what the adults do. Sometimes we can forget how important our relationship to Christ is. It's good news that God freely invites us to Christ's banquet. And yet God still challenges us. Outside appearance must also change. Our actions must be appropriate. However, when God invites us, just the way we are, good and bad, how can we wear the right thing? How can our actions be right or righteous? Well, here's a clue. Ancient kings used to provide wedding garments for their guests. They were generous with their wealth at the wedding banquet because the man without a garment was at fault because he did not accept the garment that was offered him. He did not allow the king to be as generous as the king wished to be. Wow, that's even better for us. God not only invites us to the feast of a loving relationship with Christ, God also dresses us for this relationship. Through baptism, God clothes us in Christ. God is righteous and forgives our sins. God turns our limitations into tools for ever-inviting kingdom. For example, a woman shared the reason she became involved in a serious Bible study. She said a young man who had lived a terrible life became greatly changed by his faith in Christ as a result of studying the Bible. She wanted to experience this powerful, life-changing relationship herself. Our relationship to Christ does not stop at baptism or confirmation. This relationship keeps and growing lifelong. This relationship makes our actions ever more Christ-like. What wonderful news this is. God not only invites us, God also dresses us for life in the kingdom. And yet the challenge remains. We are to accept God's continual generosity. We are to win the love and daily forgiveness with which God clothes us. We are to keep accepting the invitation of a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We will begin with the sermon hymn number 62. Thank you.
at the together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Open to the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. You rejoice in your church, gracious God. Welcome your children to the table you have prepared, and send us forth to share the saving mercy we meet in Jesus Christ. Hear us, O God. You rejoice in your good creation. Provide moisture, parched places, wind and sun for flooded lands, and shelter and sustenance for creatures of every kind. Hear us, O God. You rejoice in the people and places of the world. We pray for nations who cannot at table together, for leaders distracted by anxiety and fear, and for refugees unwelcome in their homelands. Hear us, O God. You bring peace that surpasses understanding. We pray for all who cannot worship with us to stay, those who are homebound, hospitalized, imprisoned, or working, especially we pray for Delma, Ruth Fox, Mary, Eric, Mary, Levon, Helen, Dale and Ron, and for the families of two of these in the list. Comfort their hearts and ours, healing presence. Hear us, O God. You rejoice in this congregation, O Lord. We pray for its ministry of hospitality, for ushers, greeters, wedding coordinators, and all who welcome guests in this place. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for those in our midst celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Amelia, Lee, Jennifer, Riley, Dolores, Jacob, Kevin, Amy, and Gerald and Marge. Hear us, O God. You promise an eternal feast. We give thanks for the saints of every time and place. Hold us in communion with them until all are united at your heavenly banquet. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ with you always.
And also with you.
Share Christ's peace with those around you. Peace be with you, Nancy. Seed, gather the harvest from the fields, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks, Lord, our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join an unending hymn. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Jesus took the bread. Gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see, the Lord is good. God, you bear the do communion. Body of Christ for you. Body of Christ given for you. Blood of Christ shed. Blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you. body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Please stand. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness. that we might speak a living voice of healing and justice to the world. Through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God, Creator of all things, speaking reformation into being. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, raising the dead. Holy Spirit, living voice, calling and enlightening the church. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Hymn 547. Give honor to Christ and His name that we share. Go in peace, sound the good news.
Thanks be to God.